The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
I'm so glad you've joined me today for Kingdom Connection, and I believe as you sit there and you listen, get a pen, get a piece of paper maybe, or your phone, I'm going to teach you today how to turn up the fire. Maybe things are cold in your home, your marriage, your family, and you need the fire of God in your life again that leads you, that guides you, that comforts and warms you just like a fire in the fireplace. I'm telling you, God knows how to turn up the fire in your life. Open up your Bible and let's go to the Old Testament. You're going to love this story and God's going to speak to you.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
1 Kings chapter 18. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of Jacob, the sons of Jacob, whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench around it large enough to hold 2 seas of seed. And he put wood in order. Notice that. He put wood in order, and then he cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood, poured water, pots full of water on the burnt sacrifice on the wood. Then he said, "Do it a second time." And then he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it. And so the water ran all over the altar and filled the trench. And then Elijah, at the time of the evening sacrifice, came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word." Verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust. Fire was proof that the sacrifice had been received. And it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, when all the people saw it, when the fire fell, they didn't just sit there and watch it, but they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Verse 41, then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain." I want to preach to you for just a few moments about this fire. And I want God to speak to us all and rekindle and turn up that fire in our hearts and in this church. Elijah, after he built the altar, he began to pray. He didn't pray a little prayer to check the prayer box. But he said, "I want to pray until the fire falls." Elijah prayed a persistent, fervent prayer, a seething prayer, a heartfelt, red, hot prayer. James said, it's the fervent, effectual, passionate prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. It's not a little thing. But when you begin to press beyond and you hit that place where, "Ooh, God is here, and I can speak, and I feel something shifting. I feel the fire of God receiving the prayer." It's an intensity. It's time again for that fire to hit churches. And Lord, if it's not this one on fire, why shouldn't it be? I want this church to be on such fire. Do you know they said fire can double every 30 seconds? That's how quick it can spread, which explains why the world's not being saved. Because if you'll catch on fire, You'll start converting your friends. You'll start converting your family. You'll start converting people all around you. We've lost our witness. We don't think it's important. So if they're going to hell, that's their problem. I guess they'll come to Jesus when they get ready. No, somebody has to witness. Somebody has to be set. You have to be a soul set on fire. You have to have a new, fresh touch of fire. And then suddenly you can double that in 30 seconds and another one catches fire and another one catches fire. And just like on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were saved off one spark. You know, I believe the Pentecostals are the ones who need the fire more than anything. People used to come to our churches when my mother was, she's sitting down here on the second row, and when I can remember at North Henderson and Rocky Mount churches that my dad pastored, we were on fire for God. I used to play the drums, and I could tell there was just something that would shift when the Holy Ghost showed up in fire. And old sister so-and-so down there might cut loose. And my mom back then, she had a hairdo, and I respect everybody's hair and their standards and all that. And I don't ever make fun of nobody. I believe people, that's beautiful to me. I love that. But mom used to stack her hair. So she had big curlers, that big. And they would curl them, and it was like the Eiffel Tower. It was three layers. Mom, you know I'm telling the truth. It was high and lifted up. But I can remember you'd usually hear a woman, I don't know why, but a woman, and they would go, ooh. And that meant incoming, something's about to happen. And then old Brother Medcalf. There was a guy named Brother Medcalf. He'd get up and he'd start walking across the front. And he would start praising God like this. And about that time, my mama would start jerking her head, and the Eiffel Tower would start coming unglued, and it would go shoom, shoom, shoom. And it was beautiful. And the saints would get, my dad would start preaching, and it was beautiful. When the fire falls, you get a little out of control. You don't care what people think. That's what this city needs. That's what this world needs. We cannot fix people with dead, dry religion. They need the fire of the Holy Ghost to get off drugs, to get their minds cleansed and healed and delivered, their bodies healed. We need miracles, and it comes out of the fire. It comes out of the fire. 1666. In London, England, the bubonic plague had broken out, and it was killing tens of thousands of people. No cure, no hope, entire families being wiped out, deadly. They could not figure out what was causing the disease and the plague. And history records an old cow, they think, kicked over a lantern in the main barn of London. And when he did, it caught one straw. And every 30 seconds, another. And then the bigger the pile got, the bigger the... And the flames began to leap from neighborhood to neighborhood, from building to building, from house to house, till the whole city was inflamed in such a fervent, burning fire that not only did it burn everything down, but the fire began to leak down into the sewers. And it caught rats on fire. And one of them started it, or two or three, and they take off running. And they start spreading the fire in the sewers of London. And they're burning the rats by the millions down in the sewer of London. The rats were carrying the fleas that would come up and bite the people and infuse them with the bubonic plague. And when the fire was done, there was no more plague. Down in the sewer of our soul, when the fire comes, it doesn't just deal with things out here, but it goes down into the sewer of our soul where the rats and the awful filth is, and it begins to burn it up and clean up our lives. Bible said in Malachi 3 that God would sit as a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. Soap cleans up the outside, but fire cleans up the inside. And you can walk down an aisle and get saved, and that's beautiful and that's important. But when the fire that I'm preaching on comes, it goes deep and it begins to go into the sewer of your soul. It begins to go into those areas where you've let the rats loose and you've let the enemy loose. But God says, let my fire burn again in you. I remember when me and my brother Richie used to evangelize all over the nation. We were just two single preachers that was going out and preaching as a team. And we were young, and we were just young men, just in our early 20s. And so we naturally drew a teenage audience. And we started something every time we would ask the pastor, is it all right if we call a prayer meeting in a Sunday school room? And we would start in a little Sunday school room. And when we would go in, and sometimes those revivals would break loose for a week, for 2 weeks, for 3 weeks. Hundreds and hundreds of people would be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Especially young people, they would come from all over. Their entire youth groups would come. Spirit of God would fall in mighty and magnificent ways. And one of the things Richie and I would do is we would go an hour early and we would get in those Sunday school rooms. They were usually cement floors and wood chairs, and it was down in a basement somewhere in a little country church. But we would get down on our knees, and it would start out with me and Richie, and we would just be praying. We didn't know how to pray, except you just open your mouth and you start praying and you tell God He's great. And if you don't, and as I was getting this little message together, I thought about, where are the 14-year-olds? Where are the 15-year-olds? Where are the 16? Because that's who started showing up. They would start showing up into that prayer room. They would come, and it would start out, and the men had to be in one room and the women had to be in another. That's how we did it back then, and that's a good way to do it, especially with teenagers. Put them over there, amen, and they put the boys in there, and me and Richie would start out, but by about that second or third week, it would be a roar of young people. It would be so crammed, sometimes they'd have to open two or three because the fire was spreading, and it was 14-year-olds. And it was 15-year-olds. And it was 16. They would pray. They would get, oh, they would agonize. They would cry. And we're too deep for that now. We're too intelligent for that. We're too non-emotional for that. We're too great. We never get too big for the fire. That fire is what got us where we are today. And it's a whole lot easier to cool down a fanatic than heat up a corpse. If you want it, you have to build the altar. You have to put the sacrifice of praise on that altar. And I want that fire. I want that fire to hit another generation. I want that fire to burn so deep in this church that the sparks start spreading all over Atlanta and all over the nation, all over the world. Am I just a dreamer, or do you believe that it's God's will for the fire to fall again? Who's a candidate? Who needs to kill some rats in the sewer of your soul? Because if you let it, a fire will go out. Proverbs 26 said, put wood on the fire. Put wood on the fire. Put wood on the fire. Where there is wood, no wood, the fire goes out. Here you go. If you don't have any fires, because you're not putting wood on it. Prayer is wood. Praise is wood. Giving is wood. loving God, witnessing His word, standing against temptation. That's the wood on the fire. You say, when nobody saw it, God saw it. When you stop cussing, that's wood on the fire. When you stop acting like the world, that's wood on the fire. When you start honoring your father and your mother, that's wood on the fire. When you start coming to church when you feel like it or you don't, that's wood on the fire. I'm preaching good. Y'all want me to hurry up so you can get to the buffet? The only fire in most churches is in the church kitchen. We're going to get some in here. Praise God. Yes, well, that's a good line. Hallelujah. Anybody want fire? Anybody in the younger generation want fire? I want a passion. I want a vision. I want a dream. I want a calling. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live on fire. Not going to be a lukewarm Christian. Not going to be a lukewarm preacher. Stand to your feet at every campus. Hallelujah. I want the fire to fall on everything that we're doing. How many of you are a candidate and you would say, I want the fire back? Maybe you're burnt over field. Maybe you're under the water from a flood. If you want the fire, get out of your seat and get down here as quick as you can get down here. We're not in a hurry. I'm going to let everybody leave in a minute that wants to leave. But if you feel a nudging, you feel a hunger, you feel a yearning, if while I preach something is stirred, the Bible said in 1 Timothy, stir up the fire. Stir it up. If you see the embers growing cold, barely blinking, stir it up. Stir it up. This is not an hour to be lukewarm. This is not an hour to be casual. This is not an hour to have a distant relationship with Jesus. This is an hour to be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk on wine where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in hymns and songs and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. You're putting the sacrifice of praise on the altar. Now just lift up those hands all over this room, and if you want the fire to hit your house and hit your family and hit your marriage and hit your children, oh, God, we cry out to you. Maybe the flood of the enemy has come like a storm. But listen, you have to go after God. You have to seek Him. You have to say, Lord, I'm stirring up the fire. I'm stirring up the fire. I need it. I need it. Now just receive the fire. Begin to worship. Begin to praise and begin to say, Lord, let that fire get into the sewers of my soul. Get in. I want the fire on my mind, purging my thought life. I want the fire on my lips so that what I say will be pleasing. The words of my mouth will be pleasing to you. Oh God, I want the fire in my heart. That my heart will burn for you. That my heart will burn for your gospel. That my heart will burn for your word. Come on, Lord, seek Him. Seek and build an altar. Get desperate for it. The Bible said when the fire fell, all of Israel started shouting and bowing and worshiping. That's what we're doing. Begin to worship the Lord all over this place, in the balcony, at every campus. Just begin to forget about yourself and throw up your hands and put wood on the fire. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Clean out the firebox. The Holy Ghost comes on the wings of praise. Give Him the wings. Come on, young people, I see you. God sees you. Seek it. I want you to pray for somebody. I want you to lay your hand on somebody around you. All over this building, I want you to let the sparks If you feel the fire, just reach over and touch somebody gently and let the sparks spread. Let it double every 30 seconds. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord.
Here comes the glory of the Lord. Here comes the glory of the Lord. Sweeping
over. I pray you'll say that in your home. Glory to God. Declare it over your home.
Here comes the glory of the Lord.
Welcome the Holy One. The God that is a consuming fire. If you can't take it anymore, He'll carry it. If you can't handle it anymore, the fire can handle it. Yes, yes, yes.
Because you're the name of all names. You are worthy of all praise. And my heart will see how great is your God.
When that fire touches you and it begins to burn, it will burn away sin. It will burn away that coldness of your heart. And Lord, I just pray today that you would touch people all over the world that are hearing thee. And those that are in a cold place, a cold, dark valley, they need the fire to lead them. They need the fire to warm them. They need the fire because it's essential to make it through the trials and the hard times of life. Lord, we just ask you today to send revival to America, to send revival to every church and every home. And Lord, I just pray for an unending fire of God in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And if you don't know him, you can know him. And there's a number on the screen. Call that number. Someone's ready to pray with you today. You can visit our website. We have plenty of free resources to share with you in your brand new walk with God.
I'm standing here in the center of my community of Eshkol, an amazing community that you have met many times before. A community that became the center of the horrific day of October 7th. And despite the fact that we have hundreds and thousands of people among us that suffer from post-trauma, despite everything, our spirit is strong and we will rebuild our community. And we're doing it thanks to you. We're doing it, we did it in the past and we are doing it now and we will continue to do it in the future. And today, we are here building a resilience center, a place that will give a lot of strength and comfort to our community members. And together with you, we are building hundreds of personal shelters for people that do not have a shelter in their home. Pastor Jensen, your support, just the statement of saying we are here with you, this is what really strengthening our spirit. Our answer to terror will always be to continue to rebuild, to choose life and light. We're the people of life and light. We're doing it, Christians and Jews together.
Well, I hope today's broadcast has blessed your life. And as you're watching this, I have to say thank you. Over the past 6 years together, we've constructed numerous life-saving projects in Israel. None of this would have been possible without the incredible generosity of viewers just like you. From the hospital to the preschools to bomb shelters and on and on and on. And we've been able to sow millions of dollars. I'm just telling you straight up, millions of dollars we've been able to sow for the glory of God. When you invest in projects that bless Israel, you're stepping into the promise of Genesis 12 and verse 3. I will bless those that bless you, O Israel. I will curse those that curse you. And in you, families of the earth will be blessed. There's a family blessing that comes on people who bless Israel. You fulfill Bible prophecy. I was recently invited to Washington, D.C. to the West Wing, and I went into a meeting with 23 of the hostage families that are still being held by Hamas, over 500 days or close to it, and the torture, the hell those people have been living in. But we were able to comfort those families, and they asked me to lead the prayer over those families, and I did. And I'm telling you, I'm thankful for what God is doing. I recently was asked to meet with the Prime Minister of Israel in a private meeting with about 10 or 15 other pastors and leaders, and was able to talk to him one-on-one and tell him about some of the things that we were doing. He was very aware and very appreciative. And God is helping us to spend everything that we do in that area. God is helping us to build up and replace the darkness with a light. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We're comforting God's people. And that's a mandate in the scripture in the book of Isaiah. Be a part of it, and God will bless you, and God will bless your family.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. Visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.